Welcome back to America's leading higher education podcast, The EdUp Experience, where we make education your business. Hosts Dr. Joe Salustio, Elizabeth Leiba, and producer Elvin Freites bring you the brightest and most influential minds in higher education today. We explore innovations, ideas, and issues in higher education and beyond, and hopefully have a little fun along the way. Now let's get to it.
Hey everyone, this is Liz, and I'm thrilled to announce the launch of the Black History and Culture Academy in collaboration with the EdUp Experience. Here at the EdUp Experience, our goal is to inspire and educate people to pursue a lifelong learning mindset, no matter the path they choose. That aligns perfectly with the Black History and Culture Academy, where our mission is to educate and empower individuals seeking a foundational knowledge in Black history in a subscription-based unlimited access online program with 20 plus courses designed by me. So for more information, head on over to www.blackhistoryculturacademy.com. That's www.blackhistoryculturacademy.com. Can't wait to see you in class.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience, where we make education your business, interviewing the brightest and most influential minds in higher education and beyond. My name is Dr. Joe Salustio. I'm very excited to be with you again today and bring in a very special guest. Her name is Elizabeth Leiba. Liz, how are you today? Actually, wait a minute. You're here all the time, so you're not that special. So how are you?
I was like, oh, wow, I'm special. Where did all this come from? I didn't know what was happening.
Did I keep you on your toes?
Yeah, you did. I thought I was in Bizarro World. I didn't know what was happening. When you said I was a special guest, I was like, oh, I'm getting the red carpet treatment. But then you
get the drive to make you feel special.
Yeah, I see that. I appreciate it.
I didn't know if you were feeling down today. So I thought, you know what, let me just bring up your spirit.
I
introduce you as a special guest, even though you're basically a regular.
I'm regular schmegler, as Cardi B would say. There you go.
Right. You're like a lurker. and we were talking about lurkers earlier. You're kind of a lurker. You just keep showing up over and over again.
Yeah.
And producing amazing episodes with me.
Yeah. How is that happening? It's so accidental, you know? It's amazing.
Well, it really is. And speaking of some things that are non-accidental.
And amazing.
You like that transition?
Yeah, I love
it. We have amazing guests for you today. His name is Charles Knippen, and he's president of NSLS, and he's going to tell you what that is and what they're about. Charles, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, but, you know, I wanted to be a special guest. I don't know. I'll take amazing, but special sounded good, too.
Well, I have to – you are special, Charles, in my book, and Liz is amazing. Even, you know, she for if you don't know, Charles, Liz and I are going to be attending a conference together here shortly, and she'll be buying me dinner nightly, so she said.
I guess so. She better.
I'll be feeling like the special one, finally. That's all I have to say about that.
You'll finally get your comeuppance and get a dinner on my tab. Sounds good. Love it.
Well, Charles, what talk to us about NSLS. What's the NSLS? And let our audience know all about it.
Absolutely. Well, first, thanks for having me on here today. It's nice to connect with you both. The National Society of Leadership and Success is the nation's largest accredited leadership program for college students and also the nation's largest leadership honor society. So when you think about a traditional honor society where you're recognized for your good GPA, we are all that. However, we add on the additional layer. We provide an accredited leadership program for college students. So they go through a step-by-step leadership program on their campus that we provide them, and they are going through assessments to learn their communication styles. They're spending half days in leadership retreats. They're listening to broadcasts from world leaders like President Obama, President Bush, Bill Gates, Dr. Beatrice King, Matthew McConaughey, thought leaders, you know, and world leaders. And then they're also put into small groups and to set goals, create action steps towards those goals, and to hold each other accountable. And so the program is all based around our mission of building leaders who make a better world. And you know, our mission as an organization, our vision for where we're going is that everybody will know somebody positively impacted by the NSLS. So that BHAG, that big, hairy, audacious goal is out there for us. We're running after it.
So in terms of the organization and everything that you do, can you give us a little bit, Charles, about the background of why this organization was started, what your trajectory has been in terms of the organization, and for those that maybe aren't aware or don't really understand, just the importance of why those skills and tools are so important for the students that you come into contact with through the organization.
Absolutely. Thanks for the question. And this all started back before 2001. The NSLS actually has been around for 20 years, but it really started with our founder and my business partner, Gary Turek, who was going out on campuses as a motivational speaker. And, you know, he was so energized by what he was able to do with an audience for an hour and getting them, you know, thinking about their lives and making the most out of them. But he had this bigger vision of saying, what if I could actually do more? What if we could actually be a positive influence for a semester, for a school year, for the entirety of their lives? And so in 2001, he partnered with 16 colleges, you know, 16 schools that had heard him speak, was motivated by what he was doing. And they said yes to this whole idea of having an honor society, but one that had this this leadership development opportunity with it for their students as well. And before a student could actually be inducted into the Honor Society, they had to go and complete this leadership program. And so what started out as 16 schools back in 2001 has now grown to one out of every six colleges in the country. We're at over 725 schools across the country, over 1.4 million members. And so this message, this inspirational message that we're trying to give students to, you know, create that definition of their own success and run after it, and we'll be there to help support them, has really resonated across the board.
Hey, guys, this is Joe again and Liz, and thank you for that, Charles. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Liz, I don't know if you guys are conspiring against me, but it did just recently say that the host has put you on mute. The host has put you on mute. And by the way, you are the host for this meeting, and you're not typically the host.
I'm not so, used to being the host, so that's...
You're being goodbye.
I don't even know how that happened.
I'm just a person. I'm just saying, I'm rolling with it. Whatever happens today, you know what? I'm just rolling.
Charles is rolling along with the program.
And we're keeping this as part of the episode. I would very much like the audience to know that the first time I ever give Liz the handle here to run the technical piece of the Epic Experience, she mutes and disconnects me from the episode. I was like that said and noted in the show notes to our producer, Alvin Freitas.
And from there, please use that in the promo material, too, that I totally had the controls and made a big mess of everything.
If I could have only recorded it on my side where it said, the host has disconnected you. Goodbye. Anyway, Charles, I don't know if you're a part of this or not, but we're going to assume you're not.
Charles is laughing, but he is not conspiring. He is just laughing.
I'm just enjoying every second. Because it's nice to know that life isn't perfect for everybody else either.
Yes, you're absolutely
Well, so, listen, Charles, I've got a question for you, and it's really, you know, I think really a most important question as we talk about leadership. Leadership's always been important in the lives of students, and you know, but it kind of feels like at this point in our societal evolution, if you will, that specific, caring, empathetic, amazing leaders are really at a premium right now. We just don't have as many as we need to push our country forward in the ways we want to see it push forward. Mm-hmm. What's the great need for leaders today? So as you're certifying these leaders, what areas are most important when it comes to leadership in the 21st century?
I love that question, Joe, because you know there are so many articles right now out, McKinsey, Forbes. I mean, they are putting out articles that are talking exactly about what you're mentioning, is just having students who can effectively influence teams, compassionate leadership, you know, impact-minded leaders. I mean, it is today's issue, and the pandemic just set it back. I mean, you have these students who were taken in out of their classroom environments, out of the the groups and opportunities that they were having prior to the pandemic to develop those skills, and you've got a whole generation left behind. you're thinking about those that are sophomores right now, or second year students that are no longer, that didn't have their first traditional year. And so to your point and to your question, I think that you're seeing that, compassion, impact, influence, communication, those are the things that right now employers are saying, this is what we need. And we need to partner with the colleges to offer this in the classroom, in their, outside their extracurriculars, and any opportunities that we can, partnering with the career centers, every opportunity that they can to develop those.
Hey everyone, this is Joe, just reminding you to check out our website at www.edupexperience.com, where you can find and explore all of the content that we've released under the EdUp Experience brand, including multiple podcast series, EdUp Elites, EdUp Embedded, and EdUp Experts. You can also suggest topics or guests for our podcast. Then head over to YouTube, check out our channel, The EdUp Experience, and you're going to find that my amazing co-host, Elizabeth Leiba, has started a new web series called EdUp Unplugged, where she talks about racism in America with special guests coming on that web series. We've got a lot going on at The EdUp Experience. Again, check out our website at www.edupexperience.com. Now let's get back to our guest.
And how do you assess, Liz, I'm going to ask a bunch of questions here, especially since we're on the assessment part, because I have to be honest, Charles, I assess Liz at the end of every episode. I can't tell you that the grades and assessments that she gets are very positive, especially if she disconnects me from the episode.
I'm an A student. What are you talking about?
In technology, Liz? I don't know. We'll have to.
I give her an A plus for keeping on your toes today, Joe.
She is. She's making me dance. So how do you assess? How do you look at your curriculum and say, okay, look, we have societal injustices. We have a need for great leaders. These are the skills that are really needed. But are we really sure? How do we know that for sure? How do we assess the internal and external landscape and say, whether our curriculum meets the muster?
Exactly. And for us, it is because as an accredited institution, we actually have to adhere to the standards that are set externally. We partner with three accrediting boards for our accreditation. We also do surveys out to our members that's done by a third party college. They actually have to show what was the before and after, what's our assessment in terms of the impact that we're making on students' lives, in terms of their belief in their own selves as a leader, their leadership potential, their likelihood to graduate. All these different seven areas that we have to step up and say, we need to be focused in making sure that we're moving the needle in these seven areas and have that, not only endorsed, but reviewed by these external agencies. And it really sets us up for success in making sure that even the assessments that we do and we give to our students, like the DISC assessment, we need to make sure that we're delivering things that are of value to them so that they can understand things like their own communication style, so that they can, know how to be a better leader with things like that.
And how do you, and Liz, I'll pass it to you, how do you measure success, right? Because, I think students today are all about some type of outcome, and there's a movement within higher education for return on investment, and what's the outcome, and how is it measured, and how is it, communicated? Talk to me about how you all measure the success of your program, and is it measured versus those who don't take the program and aren't in the society? Is that how you look at the outcomes?
Exactly. So our learning outcomes are done by the third party that we, for those students who complete our programs, they will have an outreach done to them. They are given to the third party and then they are evaluated and they are measured on those seven learning outcomes that we have to measure ourselves on. Things like belief in themselves as a leader, or that their potential as a leader, they're trying to remember all of them off the top of my head, but they are specific to what is it that our program has actually done for them and how is it they measured from where they were before. So they all come in and evaluate themselves. This is how I evaluated myself at the beginning of the program. And then after they've gone through our 12 hours of curriculum, they evaluate themselves in those same seven areas. And what we've been able to show is that in every seven areas, we've shown a statistically significant impact. Because again, to your comment, we're in the academic world. We need to make sure we measure everything. And we've been really proud of our education team that, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when we first earned our accreditation, we weren't anywhere near where we were right now. And it really was an education for us to say, this is how we need to step up in a better way and to make sure that we are measuring what it is that we're actually giving to our students. Because before it was just, are they happy with it? You know, 5-10 years ago, we were just asking, are you happy with the content that we're giving? We weren't even thinking about learning outcomes. And now we can actually say, no, we're making an impact. And that's actually one of the things that when we go to other schools now, to schools who don't have our programs, it's one of the first things that we show them. We'd say, this isn't us talking about us. This is external accrediting board and also external university who has done this assessment for us. So we're really proud of all our work in this area.
You know, that's really, that's great. Thank you for that. And, you know, a big part of leadership today, as you know, is the globalization of leadership. We are transparent leaders today, more on purpose or on accident, as we'd like to be, with social media rearing its head as much as it does. And, you know, I do a lot of talks with young leaders myself, and social media is one of the areas that we talk about all the time, because, you know, what you post on social is there forever and haunts you or enhances you. There's the personal branding piece of leadership that is really important, that kind of comes along with leadership these days. How do you talk to the students about brand protection or recognition of what you say and do and how that can be perceived later in your career?
Mm-hmm. Really great questions. And those are things that we actually address in our later programs, because when we're building the first leadership foundations, getting them to understand communication skills, goal setting, working in teams, influence, we don't touch upon that in our core program in those 12 hours. We don't touch upon that topic of, hey, your brand, other than identifying for them, what do you want your brand to be? What do you want people to think of when they think of you? And they identify, you know, for a lot of students, hardworking, I see things through, I get great outcomes, whatever it is that they're putting for themselves. It isn't until those later programs that we do with our students that we start getting at and, you know, doing activities like, what's this? What do you associate with this brand? We'll put up the Nike logo, the Apple logo, and they'll write down everything they think of when they see that brand. And we go, I said, now think of yourself and look at, you know, have them get their phone out and they look at a picture of themselves. What does that brand say to you? And so, you know, those are the types of activities that we're using. And again, in our advanced programs, we're at the beginning, we're just trying to get students to think about what do they want their brand to be? And what is it that, you know, those things mean? So it is definitely an exercise that we kind of talk about our programs at a 101, 102, 103 level. We introduce it in 101, and then we dive into it in 102 and 103.
Well, that's it. And Liz, are you, are you going to be mad that I keep asking questions here and like taking over? Because I feel somewhat, you know, slighted that you disconnected me from the call. So I keep the conversation going here so that you don't have another opportunity to execute me, if you will, from the phone call.
You know, you should not have put me on the controls. This is like the Starship Enterprise for me. I'm only a Zoom participant. I'm usually not allowed to touch anything or get anything set up. But no, I won't be upset at you, but there will not be that free dinner that you keep bragging to everyone that you're going to be getting when we go to that conference. You're not.
Lost that. Well, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling the truth.
Lost that, Charles. He's literally.
I'm just telling the truth.
10 minutes of you talking, well, and she's gone now.
That's it. That's it. He might get a burger and some fries, but okay. It'll be like.
I mean, if it's on the West Coast, get some In-N-Out burger. I mean, that's good.
You know what? Mm-hmm. In-N-Out burger, like people used to talk about In-N-Out burger on the East Coast. And until I went to the West Coast, I was like, what is this In-N-Out burger? Mm-hmm. And literally, if anyone says In-N-Out burger, I'm like,
it is very good.
Until I went to the West Coast, and I was just like, there's McDonald's, this Burger King, it can't be that great. And when I actually ate In-N-Out Burger when I went to California, I was like, okay, you guys can keep talking about In-N-Out Burger. I get it now. So Joe, do you have any insights on In-N-Out Burger, or could you get back to the discussion on leadership at hand, please?
Well, I do have a lot of insights, and like leadership content, I consume In-N-Out Burger all the time. So,
nice, you like that?
I like that. Good job.
But not so much that I show it too much, right? The In-N-Out Burger can catch up with you.
Oh, yeah, so when you're punching the punching bag, that's how you keep
with
the
In-N-Out
burger. And then there's like a hand that comes up and just like slaps you. I had that picture with a hand that's on the side of the punching bag, right?
That's it. Well, Charles, I think, you know, that's that discussion's funny because, you know, amidst the pandemic, we all wanted it. I'll tell you how many times I wanted to go to an In-N-Out burger and I couldn't do it. I had to go through the drive-thru and it's just never as good as you get it in person. How did you have to adjust everything? I mean, obviously you were delivering things online too, right? Your curriculum and talk to me. Well, there you go. That sigh is just exactly what I want to know. Tell me about that.
There's some feelings there. Like everyone, the world stopped on March 16th. You know, all these students across the country, we have over 100,000 students going through our program at that time. And all of a sudden it stops. Our programs were being held mostly in classrooms and in auditoriums. And all of a sudden it stops. And so we circled back with the team and we said, what are we gonna do? So initially we did have an asynchronous learning environment where they could do it online. So we gave that opportunity to students, but I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments where you've never been more proud of your team, but my executive team came together, the company came together, and they rallied behind it. And they said, we're going to be there for our members. And so in 2.5 months, they created a custom built learning live online platform so that our members and our chapter leaders who had been in classrooms and auditoriums before were now going into live virtual environments and able to do all of the leadership programming, those orientations, the half-day leadership retreats, the small group meetings, everything they were doing in the classroom could be recreated. And one of the proudest moments I had was that, you know, one of our chapter leaders reached out and she goes, this is the only connection point I have to my students this semester. Thank you for doing this. And, you know, it obviously had things that we could do better on it. And we've spent the past, you know, semester working on that. But I tell you what, to have the team rally around that, to have that solution and to get that kind of feedback from our chapter leaders that, again, just like students, they were the chapter leaders, these administrators on campus were just looking to stay connected. And I think that that's where we've really missed out in the pandemic is that people aren't feeling connected. They aren't feeling connected to their university experience as much to each other. They haven't been able to build those relationships. And so for us to be able just to be a part of a small solution in that big environment, really meant the world for us.
And are you back now, Charles? Is everything back? I'm going to say not to normal because I think we all will be making adjustments, slight or bigger than slight adjustments as we move towards whatever the new normal looks like. But as far as delivering your content to students and the engagement from those students as summer kind of, you know, comes back into full tilt and fall is on the horizon, do you have things in place to resume as, you know, quote unquote normal as you were before?
Well, I tell you what, there is no normal anymore. There's a new normal that we have found and that our chapter leaders, our members, our schools are requiring.
I say that about Liz all the time, just for the record, that there is no normal with Liz. I just wanted to put that in there before I let her take over.
You know what? I have a comeback for you, but I'm going to save it for later.
There went your In-N-Out burger, Joe. Sorry.
Thank you, Charles.
So engagement, exactly. Engagement's on the rise then, huh, Charles?
There you go. Engagement is on the rise. And so that the chapter leaders are saying, hey, we need to have a complete hybrid experience. However the students want to take our programs, similar to what you're seeing in Inside Higher Ed, an article I recently read on Inside Higher Ed, you know, 73% students said they still want an online experience as part of their college experience. They want it to be the whole thing. The 73% are saying, I want it to be at least a part of it. And so similar for us, we have to meet the students where they're at and where advisors, where our chapter leaders are at. They may say, yeah, asynchronous online, they can do part of it there. We want them in a live online classroom in a virtual environment. Yeah, we can do that. We can meet you there. Or we want them back in the classroom or auditorium. Or maybe it's a mixture of all those things. And I think that's the challenge that colleges are going to be facing overall is that you have these students with new expectations that they're going to be coming into, you know, back on campus with this fall.
I guess that really leads to my next question in terms of making sure that we're responsive to students and thinking about how our institutions and all the supporting organizations, how we really evolve to serve our students. And that's a really big part of it, what you said in terms of the hybrid models and different things that we can do to really make sure we support students. Mm-hmm. Once we get our students through their program, they're graduating and they're going out into the workforce, I think that's been a big conversation. Joe and I have spoken with quite a few college leaders and organizations that serve colleges that are really working hard to ensure that we are mindful of the skills and the tools and everything that students need in order to be successful in the workplace. Give us a little bit of a rundown as far as the leadership skills, the internship, the practical learning, all these different skills that are facilitated and nurtured through your organization, and how those really align with what the workplace is asking for, which is saying, hey, colleges need to be making sure they prepare their students for this, this, and this. Like, how do you feel your organization is able to help meet that?
Sure. And that goes back to those learning outcomes that we have to make sure that we're stepping up into them. I'd say right from the get-go, from right when you walk into your orientation, we're already helping them in building their communication skills. From the assessment they have to take, as they're going through orientation on their DISC learning style, to the exercises that we're having them do in their room to build connection with each other. And that's the other thing too, is that how do you talk to one another? Particularly in such a polarized environment that we live in right now, how do you build bridges? How do you find areas of common ground? How do you find areas of commonality? And so that's what we really challenge our students, is that we're putting them into these environments where they are actually interacting and engaging with each other, and we're facilitating conversations to help them understand things like diversity, equity, and inclusion. That is a huge, tremendous topic right now. And you both have probably heard about the iceberg, the three dimensions of diversity, inclusion, with the what you see above the water, what you see at the waterline, and the 90% that's below the waterline. And introducing that topic and going, the world is a lot bigger than what the lens you see it through. And, it's a lot bigger than what you can see on top of the water. So I think from that the communication, the building relationships, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, the goal setting, you want to have people who are going into your work environments and having an idea of, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to accomplish, and this is the path I see for this job or this company providing to me. For a lot of students, they kind of go in and they're not sure. And so they need to align themselves with companies and internships and jobs that are going to be providing them that perspective. So I think we just lost Joe again. I want to make sure that...
No, he's good. He's a leader in his organization. He often gets pulled in multiple directions and leaves me, his mentee, to take the reins. Nice.
All right.
So, So I love that you talk about, and this is a big passion of mine, the diversity, equity, inclusion piece. Mm-hmm. Because I think just from my own observations and obviously from working in higher education and working at colleges and universities over the past decade and a half, almost two decades now, I see that a lot of times there just isn't really enough attention paid both in the classroom as far as students understanding the importance of diversity, equity, inclusion. And then even in the higher education sector as a whole, we don't necessarily really address diversity, equity, inclusion. And then obviously we see it in corporate America, and it's been pretty much something that's come back to the forefront now over the past year, when you think about, everything that the country has done to really circle back around to some of these issues as far as equity is concerned. What are some of the things that you're doing to prepare our students? They're the leaders for tomorrow. So just to kind of drill down on that point, because I think it's really a very salient one. What are some of the things we need to do on our college campuses to make sure that students are aware of what's going on around the country and that they're prepared for that in terms of those conversations and skill sets that they're going to need to be able to be effective in an ever increasingly diverse workplace?
Right. And the first thing that we do is going back to that curriculum experience. And so when those students, those 100,000 students every year going through our program, they're already being introduced to that topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that is through the iceberg model. That is also them then identifying what is, sharing with each other, what is the dimension of their own diversity that you wouldn't necessarily be able to see. And just getting them scraping the surface of actually sharing and understanding what again, that lens that they see the world through and how it's different than what a lot of other people are experiencing. And then as an organization, we're getting up and we give away $400,000 in scholarships every year. We have set aside $50,000 of those funds specifically around DE&I initiatives. And so that, you know, students can come forward and they say, I want to do something around Black Lives Matters or transphobia issues or LGBTQ issues. And we want to create a movement. We want to do something positive in our community. And our scholarships and awards are specifically around addressing these systemic issues that are impacting students and the broader community. And we're really proud of the work that our students are doing in that area. When they apply for those funds, they have to put together their plan. They have to be held accountable to actually executing it and to, you know, see the impact that they're having in their communities and such important issues has really resonated well for both our membership and for our team internally and seeing, you know, what these students are able to do.
That's so awesome and so admirable, everything that you guys are doing. Another question I have before I start to kind of, and I want to be mindful of your time. So before I start to kind of ask you some of the last couple of questions that we want to ask, but a question I had that I'm curious about is in terms of getting the word out that this is an opportunity for students to gain these skills on their campus in order for them to get involved. I can only speak for myself because I went to a huge state college. I went to University of Florida and there were like 50 billion organizations on campus, right? So when you come on a campus, it's like, hey, there's this organization, there's that organization. And it's like, you really don't really know like what to get involved with. How do you really get the word out and get the message out? Especially when, you know, they're like honor societies and different, you know, everything's a society and you're kind of like, well, which society should I get into? How do you help students to kind of filter through that noise for them to understand? Because you guys are huge in terms of leadership organizations and societies for students. Mm-hmm. How do you help to get that word out? How have you been able to do that so successfully? And how are students able to connect with you? And also if campuses across the country and institutions want to bring your organization to their campus, what kind of process does that look like for them?
Sure. So just make sure I got a couple of those there. How students hear about us first is traditionally through social media and when they do their search on us. One of the things I love is that, you know, the student, when they get that invitation from us or their college, when the college sends it to them, it says, hey, you've been selected for the National Society of Leadership and Success. Some of them may be a little, you know, or pessimistic or maybe hesitant. And so they'll Google us, they'll look for us on social media. And we're really fortunate. Our students are really passionate about leadership development, passionate about sharing their accomplishments. And when a student goes on there right now and they see that, wow, look at this comment posted about, you know, watching President Obama. Hey, what? Look at this comment about this student who just won a $5,000 scholarship. Hey, look at this student who just, you know, completed their leadership development course and, you know, just got a job that, you know, specifically said because of what they did. And, you know, again, for us, we want the students to do their research. We want their students to, you know, talk to their peers who have been a part of this program, because when a student comes in and they do the program, they take advantage of all the member benefits, it's a phenomenal opportunity for them. And so when you're looking at that and you have other, you know, colleges that are, you know, looking at, you know, the opportunity to bring, we have one out of every six. Obviously there are more colleges that can have our program. You know, for a lot of them, they come in with a hesitancy and say, oh, well, I just don't think our students are going to sign up. There's a one-time membership fee. I just don't think that our students will be engaged. And what they find is that we traditionally get 2 to 3 times more students than what they thought, simply because there is a hunger for this. And they look at the credibility of the program, the names associated with it, the accreditation associated with it now. And it's really about finding the right place on your campus and how to serve your students. You know, we fit for freshman students who are entering their second semester. We fit for, you know, retaining that sophomore audience. We fit for those students who are working on career, developing their career opportunities in their third year. And we also help for developing those skill sets that the students need when they're going out on their resume or when they are going out on their interviews during their senior year or their fourth year. So again, we serve a broad audience. We encourage our students to do their research when they, you know, get that invitation from their college for this. And if a school has an interest, we want to encourage you to reach out to us at nsls.org. You can also reach out to us at program dev at nsls.org, and we'd be happy to share more information about who we are and what we do.
Awesome. I love your mission. I love everything that you stand for, because I think that I have, as soon as I have a phone, I'm going to contact my daughter. I have a college student myself. She's sophomore going into junior year. And I think that, you know, as a parent, you want your child, obviously she's an adult, but you want to make sure that they're getting involved with organizations that will help them to be able to navigate when it comes to leadership, when it comes to being able to communicate effectively, when it comes to be able to just navigate spaces and be effective in those spaces. I feel like what you're doing is really serving the students' needs in such an amazing way. So kudos to you and your organization, everything that you do. We want to be mindful of your time and make sure that we get an opportunity to just ask you the last couple questions that we want typically ask our guests, which is, first, is there anything that we missed? This is kind of like a moment, if there are new initiatives that are coming out or anything that we didn't get an opportunity to talk about, give us a chance to maybe discuss anything that's coming down the pipeline for you guys that you want to talk about. And then the second question would be, just in terms of your role in higher education, what do you see as the role for what you do in terms of leadership development and student success and support? How do you see that developing in the future?
I love those two questions. So the first one, in terms of what we've got coming down the pipeline, we're really excited. Coming up in late June of this year, we have our first external broadcast. So when we have President Obama or President Bush or Bill Gates, those are typically behind our wall, our password protected wall for just our members. And those are world leaders, thought leaders who are coming in. We have our first one available to the broad audience, to the general public. And that's with Mark Randolph, who's the co-founder of Netflix. We're gonna be hosting a broadcast with him. And so I wanna encourage you, you're gonna learn a lot about who we are as an organization, what the students learn by the questions that we ask of these leaders. And that'll be a great opportunity for you to connect with us. So that's gonna, you'll see it all on social media. It'll also be on our website, nsls.org. But those, you'll see more opportunities coming from us in the future as these world leaders and thought leaders step up and, you know, wanna get that message out to as big of an audience as possible. Because again, we've all identified that these students need some of these skills and that they are not getting them, or not taking advantage of the opportunities to build them. And so we really want to make sure that we're making it available to as big of an audience as possible. And then secondly, in terms of our role in the world of higher education, I will tell you, our job is to get behind the administrators on campus who are working with their students every day, who are going through the ups and downs, who are going through it every single day. It is to get behind them and to support the initiatives that they are doing, to support how they want to impact their students and the way that they want to utilize our program to make that happen. And so, you know, our greatest focus is that we want to make sure our chapter support team working with the administrators can focus on how can that program best improve the lives of the students on their campus. And, if we can keep up our excellence, we can get great speakers, deliver great curriculum, that allows that conversation to continue to maximize the impact of the programs and not worry about all those execution items. So to that question, we're here to simply support and to build leaders who make a better world.
That is so awesome. Like I said, your mission, everything that you're doing to support students, make students more confident, give them the leadership skills and some of those scholarship monies and programs and initiatives that you're rolling out at campuses across the country. It's really admirable, everything that you've been able to do over the past 20 years at 700 plus colleges, million members. You guys are really killing it. And I love everything that you're doing. So we appreciate you. And there you have it, folks. Charles Knippen, president and CEO.
No, I was just going to say, thank you for everything that you're doing to get the good word out about what we're doing. But with all the podcasts that you're doing, really appreciate the education you're putting out in the world. And it is so important. And again, just from us, thank you.
Oh, you're so very welcome. That is amazing. Thank you so much for saying that. And we appreciate you. We appreciate your time. We know that you're very busy. So thank you again for sharing all of this insight. You dropped a lot of gems here on us today in terms of the student support success and all the things that we can do to help our students to be a lot more well prepared for the world as they go out into it, both academically and then professionally later. So thank you again.
Absolutely. Charles. Enjoy that conference. Enjoy that In-N-Out burger. Okay.
I definitely will. It's going to be on Joe. It's going to be his job to purchase me In-N-Out burger. So there you have it. Charles, the Nippon President and CEO of the National Society of Leadership and Success. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Hey, everybody. We hope you enjoyed that episode of The EdUp Experience. To learn more about The EdUp Experience, please visit our website at www.edupexperience.com and subscribe to our email list. Please share this podcast, head over to Apple, and please give us a rating and review. We appreciate your feedback. And of course, subscribe to The EdUp Experience so you're notified when our episodes drop. Here at The EdUp Experience, our goal is to make education your business. Thanks for listening.